Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tacos Fast 40 presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Today we'll be quickly going over the Bristol Food City 500 race for this Sunday in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Before I get into breaking down Bristol and what you need to know for the track this week, I gotta let you know that at DFSArmy.com, you can check us out using the link in the description. You can use that to gain access to all of our daily fantasy NASCAR tools. And with your subscription to DFS Army, of course, you'll get access to content for all of our different daily fantasy sports, baseball, football, basketball, you name it. We cover it. And we've just gone over the Xfinity race last week. You know, we have the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and Cup Series all in our Domination Station lineup optimizer that you can use for your racing weekends to help you multi-enter contests very easily. Some new updates mean that we can now go over 300 lineups optimized at a time, and we can directly compare our outputs, our exposure outputs and percentages to a projected ownership percentage. Very easy to tinker around and get some really nice lineups out there. So if you want access to that and the research station that I'll be referencing throughout this pod, be sure to check us out at DFSArmy.com using the link in the description and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 20% off. So moving on to Bristol here, we just had Martinsville a couple weeks ago, so you guys should sort of know the deal here. 500 laps means lots and lots of fantasy scoring, and it's going to be very different depending on what site you are at this week, definitely. With over 400 fast laps, I'll probably be distributed. It's going to be huge for DraftKings scoring. Tons of Dominator points to be had out there. You have 375 Dominator points on DraftKings compared to your usual 200 to 300 or so. And, at some tracks like Watkins Glen, Sonoma, Charlotte Roval, you have under 100 total Dominator points to go around. But this week we have 375 of them. Over on FanDuel, you've got 50 for the 500 lead laps, but that is it. Just like Martinsville, it creates a different kind of scoring. But Bristol is quite different than Martinsville. The bank is considerably higher. We get banking up to 30 degrees here. They'll be laying for the second week in a row, they'll be laying down the traction compound on the outside groove to help make this, not a one groove racetrack. We've seen a lot of people, working with, going up on the outside on that, what used to be called PJ1, but now they stress, it's known as the traction compound layer, but there seems to be some speed up there, and they'll kind of adjust throughout the race. The more rubber that gets laid down, the more, it gets sort of activated. But later on in the race, it kind of fades away as well. And there's going to be, for like the fifth Bristol race in a row, there's going to be some rain concerns. I know we've had much, much worse rain concerns with, schedule or postponements and stuff with Bristol over the last year or two, but looking like about a 50% chance of rain around the time of the race, but it will subside by the evening. So if anything, we'll just get probably a little delay, but I really doubt that it's going to be rain shortened. That said, you know, that could also wash away a little bit of the traction compound. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but that's something we're going to have to look at going into tomorrow. Right now, we have all of the practices in the book. Really wanted to wait on final practices after qualifying this week to do the pod, because there's pretty much no more. There's no track that has more laps put down in practice than Bristol, and we're able to get a lot of guys out there running. We got 20, 25, and 30 lap averages. They're going to be really interesting. Final practice, you got 20 drivers that had a 30 lap average. So these long run speeds are going to be really nice, really telling, and should help give us a little edge on the field from the people who are just looking at fast speeds and maybe just 10 lap averages. So yeah, going back to how Bristol is different than Martinsville here. Of course, the banking is a lot higher than, you know, the 30-degree banking, significantly higher than the 12-degree banking at Martinsville. It runs about 12 miles per hour faster. It was going to, you know, people expected to be a lot faster this year with the different package and the, you know, the higher downforce and stuff. We've heard that talk throughout. Sort of throughout this year, we heard it like Phoenix too, talks of beating the track record and stuff. But Denny Hamlin was saying that Goodyear had brought out a new tire for this race. It seems to have kind of taken away some of the speed that they may have gained otherwise with the setup here. So a new tire. I know last week Goodyear was on our minds constantly as guy after guy just kept, you know, having tires cut down. Really unfortunate here. And here at Bristol, just like we saw in the Xfinity race here, this is short track racing at its finest, a little bit faster in Martinsville. It's a lot easier to find yourself in multiple lanes here, riding around the outside with guys. The leader is probably going to be able to, you know, make his way out to the lead and kind of stay there and lap a bunch of cars. But behind that, there will be lots and lots of close racing. Aerodynamics won't be as huge. You know, you can bump around a little bit and not worry about aero in your car as much. And we will see guys tag the wall a lot. Really does happen here a lot. Upon corner exit, you know, guys will just you want to have a loose race car here. Generally, you know, looser is faster, but you let things get a little bit too loose, or you let things get out of hand, and you know, things can go by the wayside really quickly here, and you can tag the wall. You do see a lot of trouble here. This is the track that has the lowest average green flag run percentage, so it spends more time under caution flag than any other track. And we also see the average laps finish. It ranks 22nd out of 24 tracks. Behind only Kentucky, and there are stricter plate races, so there'll definitely be a lot of crashes. You know, check back tomorrow in the Slack. I'll post the updated props for the cautions, you know, and manufacturer props and all that, like we like to do, top five ads or odds and everything. But expect a lot more carnage, a lot more sort of variance going around than usual. You know, last week was pretty, you know, things got a little dicey last week, sort of like how we expected. This week should be even a little bit more so. You know, you won't have guys that are taken out as much with the lower speeds and stuff, but you will see guys, you know, spinning out and running into each other, and you can definitely have your DNFs and such. But the caution flag, it won't be as green as we've been used to seeing throughout you know, most of 2019 here. That's kind of been the trend with the new package and all. But again, this track isn't affected by the tapered spacer package. It's only the tracks, you know, over 1 mile in distance, intermediate and higher. So It's sort of like racing at old, you know, Bristol, just like Martinsville. You do want to look to track history, you know, more than at other tracks. But you also really, really want to focus on, you know, something that we've added to the research station this week is average speed ranks. And it pretty much tells you over, you know, either over all the races this year, except for Daytona, which is a restrictor plate race, how guys, you know, average out on average when it comes to fastest lap speed, average green flag speed, 10 lap average speed, 30 lap average speed, and you can see what their average ranks are throughout that. Or you can just look at the short tracks that we've been to. Of course, this is only looking at the Phoenix and Martinsville races, which, you know, are shorter and flatter tracks. But, you know, as we go along through the season, we start collecting this lap by lap data more. You can we'll see our data expand, and, you know, we'll start to see some more awesome splits as the data accumulates. But still really good to look to speed from this season, especially from, you know, the shorter tracks. Even though we've only been to a couple of them, the data really does show you who has been fast this year and just who has not. You can see there's a big difference between the haves and haves nots. Pretty much the guys that average mostly top 10 numbers. And you'll see after Eric Almirola in salary, from Jimmy Johnson on, you can see the significant drop in speeds. But you also got to remember who's, you know, been really good at Bristol historically. This is a track where guys can have, you know, a really, really good track record here where they normally wouldn't at other tracks. Guys like Stenhouse, guys like Matt DiBenedetto. So keep the sort of Bristol ringers in mind. And yeah, you'll be looking to, you know, you're going to be looking to this year's numbers, I think, a little bit more than anything else, but also historical Bristol numbers, recent short and steep tracks. That's the split I have up there that pretty much uses all the short tracks that are steeper, your Dovers, your Darlingtons, Bristol. So just looking at those races in particular. And then I've also got your long-term, just overall short tracks stats there. And that's good to know, because a lot of guys, just, you know, short tracks as a whole, you really want to know how good of a short track driver they are in general. It's a skill that you know, you can only get better at by doing a whole lot of. You know, it's a week where we see some of the vets that may not have the speed at intermediate tracks, you know, be able to contest here really well. We've seen guys like Ryan Newman, you know, have tons of success here year after year, even though he's usually used to, you know, finishing in the 20s or so. He pretty much always finishes top 15 here. We see things like that, especially with Ricky Stenhouse. So yeah, just going to be looking at a wide variety of factors here. With the added variance this week, really going to be looking to the ownership projections and trying to fade away from that. But also, on DraftKings at least, dominator points, dominator points, dominator points. You have to nail the dominator. It's just like at Martinsville. And at Martinsville, almost nobody took Brad Keselowski. And if you made any money off of Martinsville, you had to have Keselowski in your lineups. That was just the way it needed to go. He led over 400 laps. Something like that is sort of possible here. If you look historically at the guys that have led the most laps, while we haven't had a 400-lap leader, since, you know, over the last 10 races here, we've had Carl Edwards lead 278, Eric Jones lead 260 in the 2017 fall race. We've seen Kyle Busch lead 256. Kyle Larson also led 202 and 200 laps in the last two spring races here. And those are all the guys that have led over 200 laps. So you're not going to see anyone lead more than about 50% of the race. It will be spread around a little bit. But, you know, still going to want to lock in at least one dominator on the domination station. But honestly, I like doing at least two dominators as a rule for the domination station this week. Really going to want them dominators. And, you know, on FanDuel, the way you look at it is you need the guys that lead laps, and there are no exceptions to that. And of course, your guys to finish, if not on the lead lap, then close to it. You know, there's so many laps, you pretty much just need to finish the race. But any lineup you have that has a guy that crashes or DNFs for any reason will be completely gone, as usual, but just way worse this week. You'll notice on FanDuel, a lot of guys are going to be scoring very, very similarly. Last week, the optimal on FanDuel is literally just first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And you're going to kind of need to do something similar here, unless there's a guy that finishes lower but leads like tons and tons of laps. So you're going to need to nail the guys leading the laps, getting the fast laps, and finishing position more important over there on FanDuel. And honestly, place differential also a little bit more important over there on FanDuel, even though it doesn't count, you know, only counts half as much as on DraftKings. It's just on DraftKings at a track like this, it really becomes about the fast laps. You're going to want to hunt down speed. Guys will be racking up lots of dominator points, not just by leading the race, but by having fast laps. And I think that's going to be important. And we're going to look to the practice numbers for a lot of that. So going into this field here, trying to do a little abbreviated version of the podcast here, but I'll probably still end up going pretty long. Looking right away at Kyle Busch, fourth fastest in the second practice. Not going to reference the first practice in this pod because that was before qualifying. Not many laps are run, but going to be looking at the second and third practices we had from today. More at third practice than second practice. Second practice was very, very early in the morning. Third practice is right around race temps. Similar sort of conditions, but I don't know, you might want to look at practice two a little bit more because it was a little bit cooler, and I think it's going to be a little bit cooler tomorrow with the rain coming in and all that. So you might also want to think practice two might be a little bit more indicative of the beginning of the race. Also, you know, looking at stuff like 5 and 10 lap averages there, and maybe practice three is more indicative of like towards the end of the race as the track sort of heats up, rain goes away, rubber gets laid down, all that. So, they had a Xfinity qualifying in between these two practices, so a lot more rubber's laid down the track for practice three. But I digress. There's pretty much one guy that's incredibly fast this week, and we'll get to him in a little bit. We're starting off with Kyle Busch, who is fourth and fifth if you go by fast laps in practice two and three, but if you look at average speed, he was 20th on the board in practice two with 5, 10, 15 lap averages of 9th, 11th, and 9th on the board, which is okay. He was first in 5 lap averages in practice three, final practice there, but on 10th through 30th, he was 7th, 11th, 10th, 8th, and 3rd. Third was out of 16 guys there that put down a 30 lap average, so I think his car is fine enough as always. He's starting back in 17th, which doesn't matter one bit, I don't think. Because if you're playing Kyle Busch at $12,900 or $15,000 on FanDuel, you are playing him to lead laps. And that's pretty much it. You're playing him to lead laps, and on DraftKings, you're playing him to get a bunch of fast laps as well. Historically, he averages 85 lead laps here with 43 fast laps. So instantly, you know, this is a short track. When it's a short track, you just look to Kyle Busch as a source of value because, it's Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is just the king of all things short tracks. Practice speeds were fine enough. Not really. I mean, I'm not like teeming with excitement like I would be like, you know, Kevin Harvick this week, but still, you know, starting, it doesn't matter where he starts, but just, you know, his ability to lead laps and stuff at short tracks. He's won here in 2018, the spring race, and the fall race the year before that. But, you know, other than that, it's been a lot of DNS for him here. Before those two wins, he had three straight finishes of 35th or worse going in. And you can see it in everyone's track history here. The DNFs will take out everyone. If you can just look, and you can see that since 2015, everyone $9,500 or above has been taken out by some sort of caution. He's finished 35th or worst. You know, we see that all the time here. So, you know, there's no safe plays, no locks. Going to want to spread things around a little bit. There are two big place differential plays up top that are really, really expensive and not really in a spot to dominate. So it's, you know, construction is going to be a little bit weird this week. A lot of your dominators are starting in the teens. It's not as bad as last week as far as, you know, all the place differential guys and having no plays down low. There are a lot of plays down low, but a lot of the mid-tier sort of value isn't that great. It's, 6,007, pretty much Matt DiBenedetto and lower, you start seeing lots of value on the board at the lower 6Ks, upper 5K guys. So, you know, this week, Stars and Scrubs is going to be a very, very common way to get your lineups in there. You know, I think a lot of people are going to gravitate to some of the same plays. And as for Kyle Busch, you know, it's I don't know if he reaches 30% ownership just with his price being so high on both sites, really. I think he'll be a little bit higher owned on FanDuel. But, you know, last week we saw Kyle Busch in like the high 20s or so at a really good track. I think, it could be a little higher this week with just all the Dominator points to go around. But it's not like he starts near the front and is guaranteed anything. But again, he does average the most lead laps here. So, yeah, it's Kyle Busch. He was a favorite. Sitting at about 3.5 to 1 right now to win. It's followed most closely by Ryan Blaney, actually, at 6.5 to 1, down 10,300, and that's interesting. But we'll get to him. Going to go down the row in DraftKings order. So Brad Keselowski, $12,200. Again, you know, people, I think, yet again, he's going to go under-owned just because of the massive price on DraftKings. He is cheaper than Logano over there on FanDuel, though. I think he'll be a little popular on FanDuel. Now, he struggled in first practice. Didn't really put many laps out there at all. Didn't even have a 10-lap run. But in second practice, he was able to put out longer runs, and the speeds were a bit concerning. 15th fastest lap with a 10-lap average and that was 20th on the board. A 30-lap average that was 17th on the board out of 20 drivers that went out there and had a 30-lap. So, you know, practice speed's pretty slow, I would say, but it's not too much of a worry with Keselowski sometimes. You know, perhaps he's trying some things. If you look at the, his short track stats are obviously going to be really, really good with Dover in there. But he's actually just 13th in average green lap speed. And, if you look overall, average green lap speed just for 2019 as a whole, with DNFs excluded, by the way, he's just right at 8.8. The guys around him, Kyle Busch, he's like 3.2 in that regard. Harvick's right at 5. He has really good longer run speed. We see he's one of the best in the entire board. Actually, the best at 30-lap averages in the 2019 season. We also see, him get his car in a right spot, in the middle of the race. We've even seen him put up really, really high finishes with a car that he didn't like at all. So, whenever he gets a faster car, we definitely want to pay attention to that. But this is a place where he has struggled immensely. He's yet to post a top 15 finishes in his last 16 races here, with a driving average of only 83, compared to a lot of the guys up here being well over 100 in that regard. So this is one of the tracks he struggles at the most, but, like I always say about Keselowski, it's not a guy that you can fade and use zero of. That would be really bad. Always try to get you some, at least like 10% or so, just to cover the Keselowski wild card, because you know that, he loves to gamble, put himself out there, take some risks for to get the lead. And we really want the lead here, especially with a guy who can sit out front with the lead and, lead 400 plus laps. It's not going to happen here, but it's definitely within his range of outcomes. So Kevin Harvick, $11,600 on DraftKings. This is the guy we're going to talk about big time here. He had the fastest in second practice. He had the fastest 5, 10, 15, and 30-lap averages, second and 25-lap averages, only to Clint Bowyer. It looks like Clint Bowyer actually had a little bit longer long run speed. He just didn't take a 30-lap run. He had the fastest average speed overall in that practice section. Actually, in both practice sessions, he had the fastest average speed. But going back to Harvick here, if you look at his second the final practice here, he had the fastest 15, 20, 25, and 30-lap averages. Of course, people only looking at the fastest laps will see him 8th and 4th in the practices, but they will see him 1st and 3rd in the 10-lap speeds. So this is a track where he's finished top 10 7 years in a row. Before that, he had a few crashes. But other than that, pretty much always a top 10 bet here. doesn't lead a ton of laps here, only averages 26 lead laps, but averages 43 fast laps to go with that. And, you know, with the speed in his car, you got to imagine he's going to work his way up for the 13th and find the lead eventually, or at least be putting himself up there. I know recently has not looked like Kevin Harvick, you know, with, you know, 10 lap and 30 lap averages, just eighth in, you know, eighth on average in that. So, you know, compared to guys like Kyle Busch and Keselowski, it doesn't look as good, but, you know, I think he's still, you know, he's very capable of winning, you know, winning here, of course, and dominating, leading lots of laps. We've already seen that from him. If he can ever find himself out front, especially with that long run speed, if there's like a longer green flag run, I think he can put himself up there. We always, you know, see him get himself in the top five at some point in a race. It's always just a matter of time. So Kevin Harvick, really liking that play there. Cheap compared to Kyle Busch. And, you know, a little expensive on FanDuel, but still, he just has the fastest long run car, and that is certain there. Joey Logano, $11,100. Over on FanDuel, he's $14,000, which is $600 more than Keselowski, so that's interesting. Not going to be very highly owned over there. He's second in average speed and second practice, third in fast lap speed. Didn't take too many long runs, but he had the fastest lap in final practice. And, you know, the lap averages were ranging in between 4th and 7th around there. You know, 6th, fastest 25 and 30 lap averages. As a long run speed is all right. We saw him last week. He looked great. Just kept getting blocked and was always running in 2nd place pretty much. Looking at how he's run this season, about 8th on average and average green flag runs, but right around 12th or so in like 30 lap averages, 10 lap averages. You know, he has found himself in trouble a few times this season, but, you know, this is a spot where his track history is similar-ish to Harvick's. Tons of top 10s over the last few years, and a couple of wins back in the 2015 and 2014 fall races here. Last year he finished 9th and 4th. Yeah, this is a spot where Logano should be locked in for a top 10 here. And starting 7th, he has a route to leading pretty early. It's not as set as his route last week. You know, he does have some more quality guys starting ahead of him. Not as many bad drivers starting ahead of him, but should still be a candidate to lead early. And we saw his ownership last week was very, very, very low. So, you know, with him ending up running into trouble and not having a great finish last week after all the speed that he had in his car, I think that at a track where he's averaged over 40 lead laps on average, has won multiple times, I think that he could definitely be an alternate dominator that should be owned in the teens. Could even be owned a little lower. But, yeah, we're going to want to get some Logano on the lineups for sure. Bummed about last week with him, but still, we really like where he's at. Just hate that he's first in final practice, because that is going to get some people on him that wouldn't be otherwise. Kurt Busch at $10,700. He's one of those guys that, you know, last week he was like 48% owned or something crazy, starting 30th. Well, he starts 27th this week. Should also see some major ownership on him, but he's $10,700. It doesn't lead a ton of laps here. Averages 21 lead laps here on average. He is the defending winner of this race. Won the fall race here last year. Third in the spring race in 2016, fifth in the 2017 fall race. So he can definitely have some solid finishes here, but this year he's leading 7 laps on average, 13 fast laps on average. So kind of struggles with dominator points. I like him a lot more for FanDuel, I think, than I do DraftKings. I think he's going to be a decent DraftKings fade just because people are playing him for the place differential, but he's so freaking expensive. I'd just rather go with a guy who's going to dominate and lead laps and get fast laps that, frankly, Kurt Busch isn't really set up for. He's 23rd in final practice, and, you know, his splits 5 through 20 lap averages, he was in the bottom 20 in all of those. So he doesn't show a lot of speed in his car right now, but, you know, he has the veteran savvy and stuff that he'll definitely move up. He's a good play for cash games and stuff like that. I just don't think he dominates to get you in the nuts on DraftKings. You got Ryan Blaney at $10,300 starting third. I think he's a very good candidate to lead this race. His speeds this year have been incredible. He averages at the short track. His averages are 3.5 in the 10 lap and the 30 lap averages. So that's actually best in the entire board of anyone. I guess Keselowski has slightly better 10 lap averages, but no one has a better 30 lap average than Ryan Blaney. We've seen over the last few weeks, his car has been really, really fast. Last week, he would have won the race had his engine not blown up on him, because he was out there with the lead and he was pretty much gone. And they wouldn't even have a caution, you know, after his for his engine. So it was very unfortunate for him. But again, we're going to use his bad finish last week. And we also saw his ownership being very low in the lower teens last week. I thought that was a big mistake with his likelihood to lead laps here. And starting third, he's in a position to instantly lead some laps. You know, I'm not worried about Byron starting in second. It's just Chase Elliott in first, who was a guy that led a lot of laps last week, but I'm not as confident with him here as I am with him last week. So really, really, really liking some Ryan Blaney. I think he's going to be a core sort of dominator for me. Second and 10 lap averages in second practice, and then in final practice, he was second in average speed and second in 15 and 20 lap averages. Kind of tailed off a little bit in 30 lap averages where he was just 10th. But I think he's good at things like restarting. I think that he can find his way out front. I like how he's the second favorite on the board. It's kind of telling me something. We'll see how that adjusts tomorrow. But I really do like Blaney. I've liked him a lot this season, and I continue to like him when I see his ownership being low and his finishes being a little bit skewed. So, moving down to the guys 10K and under, Martin Truex Jr. at $9,800, starting 23rd. He's not going to get the ownership that I think he deserves for, you know, starting so far back and being at such a ridiculously low price. We saw his ownership in the teens last week, and he was starting, I think, in the same spot, 23rd, or I think it was 20th or so. So, might see his ownership jump up a little bit here, but like he's 20-1 on the books. This is a track that outside of an 8th place finish in the spring race in 2017, over his last 9 races, he has yet to finish in the top 10 outside of that one time. 30th in both of the races last year. Just constantly finds trouble, and only has 2 races where he finished in the top 20 over his last 9 at this track, but you know, average green flag speed at the 2 short tracks. He was tied with Kyle Busch for the fastest average green lap speeds. So, you know, he's been a lot faster than advertised, I think. He'll certainly make his way up from 23rd. He's just got to avoid trouble, you know. I don't see a lot of long run speed in his car. You can tell he's faster in the 5 and 10 lap averages than otherwise, but still, I like him as a play, especially if he's not going to be too popular. If he gets touted around and ends up being popular, maybe I'd just avoid him at a track he's not good at. But I think he can definitely move up and is at a decent enough price to where I think he'll just get enough fast laps along with the place differential to be a good value. I just prefer him over Kurt Busch there. Kyle Larson, $9,500. Really, really good at this track. Like I had said, at the spring races, he's led over 200 laps each time over the last 2 years. Last year, he finished runner-up at both Bristol races, averages 43 fast laps and 72 lead laps here. You know, we've seen him lead at Atlanta here, you know, in the 2019 season so far. But other than that, it's been really quiet for Mr. Kyle Larson. The package really hasn't been working out too great for him. At the short tracks, his average speeds are around 12th, no matter how you look at it. 10th in the 30-lap averages, but, you know, you're paying a pretty good price for a guy who, yeah, is starting in 16th, but really hasn't been all that fast this season. This is just a track where he excels himself. As far as the practice times go, they're not very good, honestly. But, yeah, I'm just going to get some ownership to him, but I don't think I'm going to make him as core of a play as I would. I know he has the history of dominating here, but I don't think it's guaranteed that he'll get up front. 12-1 on the books right now. I just think that other guys will be blocking him. I do like his restart speeds and stuff, so if things do get dicey, I think they can find a way to move up quickly, but I don't see him leading extended amounts of the race. But again, this is a guy who I'd mentioned the last two spring races, that's exactly what he's done. So I'll still be playing a decent amount of Larson, just not as much as I usually would at Bristol. Denny Hamlin at $9,200, last week's winner. You know, not showing too much in practice outside of the second fastest lap in second practice, but this is actually a track that he's been pretty good at. You know, some top five finishes recently. And, you know, at short track so far this year, as you look at the fast lap averages, he's he ranks about fourth on average, 4.5 at the 30 lap averages, 5.5 at 10 lap averages, and 7th in average green flag speed. And just overall, green flag speed averages 6.8 within, you know, all the tracks we've run so far. That is actually 4th in the entire board. So his speed has been kind of deceptive. Hasn't really shown, he's shown a little bit of speed in practice, but usually with fast lap stuff, not with, you know, longer runs and stuff. But he's starting 5th. Another guy I think could be a dominator. Feels a lot like last week with, you know, having Blaney and Hamlin and Logano sort of as the alternate dominators here. They're just sort of starting in different spots. But Hamlin starting 5th. I think that he has a direct path to lead laps. We've seen him with a fast car early on in you know, lots of races so far this season. And he knows how to get up in the top 10, stay in the top 10. So that's a pretty reasonable price for him at $9,200. Don't mind using him as a dominator, not a core dominator, but I'm definitely going to use a bit more Hamlin than I usually would. Chase Elliott at $8,900. Now, this is your pole sitter. This is the free money, I guess, range. Has looked a lot better at short tracks than at just overall intermediates and stuff outside of last week where he actually did look pretty darn fast, had the fastest car just on average overall. And he didn't show it in the practices last week. He really didn't, but it was the first week that they had put down the traction compound, and they're doing it again this week. Last time at Bristol he finished 3rd, averages 25.5 lead laps here, so he has led tons of laps here in the past, and I think he's going to lead a healthy chunk off the bat. So this is the first week in a long time that ever since I can remember, really, from this season, I'm telling people, go ahead, play Chase Elliott. You want these fast laps, these lead laps, right off the bat, and especially that first chunk, we're going to see a lot of the fast laps going to Chase Elliott. If you look at the historical performances, you can see that pole sitters here average 97 lead laps and 40 fast laps, with, you know, on average, 78 fantasy points. And they hit 70 fantasy points 58% of the time. So I'm not worried much about him. I think that he can, you know, sit out there with the lead just for a good chunk and get a lot of value that way. And then I think he sticks around, too. I think he's going to chill around the top 5 for a good portion of this race. I do like him a bit this week. So Chase Elliott, I'm on board. Okay, someone's driving a motorcycle. That's okay. Well, anyway, moving on down through the $8,000 range here, only a few plays here. After the next two guys I talk about, we'll see the big drop-offs in speeds. So the last two fast guys I'm talking about are some Stuart Haas Racing Fords. Clint Bowyer at $8,600, who, like I'd mentioned earlier, had the fastest 20 and 25 lap averages in second practice, and then had the fastest average lap speed in both practices, and he was top 5 in 15, 20, and 25 lap averages in final practice. Some deceptive speed. I think his ownership is going to be lower. We saw him with only like low 20% ownership when he was starting well in the back last week at a little bit cheaper of a price. So with a slight price bump, with people seeing that, you know, even though he had the fastest average lap speed in both practices, they'll see he was 6th on the board in second practice and 13th in final practice. I like how sort of sneaky his speed is this week, I think. And, you know, starting 8th at a short track, which is, of course, where we want to play Bowyer. And this is also a spot where he's finished in the top 10, 5 out of his last 7 times racing here, 6th and 8th last year. in the same car, the old Tony Stewart Smokemobile, the number 14 Stewart Haas Racing Ford. And next guy we've got to talk about here, I will say that, to summarize Bowyer here real quick, starting 8th, I think he actually has a little bit of domination upside. He's led 16 laps on average here. Hasn't led many laps this year at all, but could soon be coming. You know, a short track is where you want to be playing Bowyer. So I do like going well over the field in Bowyer exposure this week. And then Eric Almirola, $8,300. I like him as my fade this week. The speed stats, they do show that he is indeed very fast. He actually has the third fastest 10-lap average speed on the season. Problem is, he doesn't get Dominator points. So I love him over on FanDuel. He's been a top 10 machine. He has a pretty game log. Very safe and consistent. I will play him over there. On DraftKings, he's had a really, really slow final practice. In the first practice, or the second practice, I guess, he showed some longer run speed, sort of like his teammate Bowyer there in Harvick, but didn't really see a whole lot in final practice where, you know, he had an average lap speed. It was 28th on the board, 24th, 22nd, and 23rd in 5, 10, and 15 lap averages. Just he's starting up in 6th, and even if he stays in the top 10, it's not a bad price for him to just stay in the top 10, but I don't see him getting fast laps, you know. Never led a lap at Bristol. Averages just 4 fast laps. It could happen, but I don't really see it happen. I like a lot of the guys around him to dominate instead. So, Almirola was over 40% owned last week, although pretty much being in a very similar spot to Bowyer. So I would much rather just pivot over to Bowyer here, starting a few spots back and having a little bit more of a solid history here. So that's why I like attacking that range there. And then Jimmy Johnson looked like a hero last week, you know, leading pretty much all of stage one and proving that his car was indeed fast. And he looked pretty fast in final practice, honestly. Second fastest speed on the board with, you know, the fastest 10-lap average. Tailed off a little bit to 10th and 7th, 25 and 30-lap averages there. But still, the speed's not terrible for the car. Still at a pretty cheap price. Starting 10th. This is where you see the speed drop off considerably. You know, we're used to seeing all these guys' average speed ranks in the top 10s. He's, you know, bouncing between 13th and 17th in these splits. So, and every driver underneath him is pretty much as well, either that or lower, or I guess higher since we're going by rank. But this is where you can see, you know, a big sort of jump in skill. But this is a track that, you know, sort of like Texas, he's been very, very good at lately. Over the last 8 races, he has finished 11th or better in 7 of them, with the only slip-up being a 23rd place finish in 2016. Not bad at all. Winner of the 2017 spring race, 3rd in last year's spring race. So, not somebody I'm going to be fading by any means. Even though it's Jimmy Johnson, I usually just fade him. I think that just his practice and speed over the last few weeks, it's been a little... You know, it's a little eye-opening. Just not going to fade him completely, but probably not going to play a ton. I think people are going to really play him since he kind of paid off really well last week and he got fairly chalky. Almost 30% owned there on DraftKings last week, but that was on the poll. And we'll see all that kind of go to Chase Elliott, who also dominated last week. So that's where a lot of the big chalk will go, but I think he'll still have healthy enough ownership in the high teens, maybe low 20s or so. And I don't want to be over the field on that, but I'm certainly not going to full fade him. I've got Eric Jones starting 4th at a place where he has dominated tons and tons of laps at. It was at the 2017 fall race where he ended up finishing runner up there. Finished runner up to Kyle Busch, of course, but dominated about half of that race. Also 5th at the fall race here last year. He's kind of gotten into trouble in the spring races, but still, this is a track that he's very good at. Had the fastest lap in second practice. And then in final practice, didn't have that crazy of a fast lap, but he was 3rd in 20 and 25 lap averages. I think starting 4th, he has a bit of a chance to be a dominator, but $7,800, all he really needs to do is stay in like the top 7 or so, and he'll be a pretty good play. He's 10-1 on the odds books right now, which is the highest I've ever seen him. So this is a very good time to play Erik Jones, especially on FanDuel. I like him over there on FanDuel, even with the bump up in price over there. Then you've got one of my favorite plays of the week. Again, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., $7,600. Going to another track that suits his driving style. And he was second in 30-lap averages in the second practice there, fifth in the third practice, also third in average speed in the third practice. I think Stenhouse, you know, he'll show us 22nd and 18th if you go by fast lap. But, you know, those fast laps are pretty darn close. It's not like he's too far off the pace here in those. And the long run speed seems to be there. Did take some time putting in tons of laps in practice. This is a track where he knows that he can do a lot better than usual. He has five top six finishes here over the last eight races. And over the last 10 races, last year when he finished 24th in the spring race, that was his worst finish. A lot of top 10s, top 20s in there. This is definitely a track that he succeeds at year after year after year. And starting down in 19th, I think he's definitely moving up for the price. Just a really good play in my book. Alex Bowman, $7,400. Just only ran one lap in practice, had a lot of problems there. Brought it out in final practice, and there was not really a whole lot going on there. He had the power steering issues last week that resulted in him going to a backup. And, we kind of had to play him with the lack of options. Here, starting 14th, just a pretty solid fade. Just too many issues with him. I know he finished 8th and 5th here last year, and I'm not going to completely fade him. Maybe play him a little on FanDuel or something, but just starting a little bit high and too many concerns for the team. I'd much rather use his teammates, honestly. Daniel Suarez, $7,300, starting 20th, looking like an excellent play. 5th in average practice speeds in both practice, and 2nd in 30-lap averages. In final practice, 5th and 25 lap averages. There's that motorcycle again. Oof, vroom vroom. So Suarez, $7,300, makes a really nice play, I think. He's faster in general than Bowman, Stenhouse, and Jones, and Jimmy Johnson on the season, actually. If you look at it by just, fast speeds and 30 lap, 10 lap averages throughout the year. So pretty interesting. He's finished top 20 in all four of his races here, but he's yet to crack the top 10. But not a bad little start for him. I was looking to certainly move up some spots, and last week he finished third, I think. It was third. Really, really good performance from him. Just took a big step up. I think the racing there with the bit of drifting and stuff that was going on at the high grip Texas track, I think that really suited Suarez's style. He qualified way too high, but made it work for him and kept himself up there all race. Suarez starting back in 20th. I like him a lot better here. Not sure how popular he gets. I bet he'll get a little bit of popularity. I think his car is fast, especially on the longer runs. Really, really like this play here at $7,300. Austin Dillon, third on the board in final practice, but I think that's really misleading. He was not top 10 in any of the lap averages. So he's 15th, or he's starting 15th, and, he has a bunch of top 15 finishes here, actually. Raced in eight races here, and only in three of them where he got into an accident or crashed, as he finished outside of the top 15, and finished fourth in the 2016 fall race. $7,200, cheap little price for him. Like him better on FanDuel, just with where he's starting, but I think he's solid enough to stay right in that spot where he's not going to get lapped and go down laps, I think Suarez is also in that spot, but Dillon definitely starting 15th. I think he'll be a candidate to stay on the lead lap for a good while. That's kind of the reason why I like playing him, but again, I like Suarez and Stenhouse a lot better in this range. Ryan Newman at $7,000. At a track that he was really good at last week, he overcame horrible practice times and him saying they hated his car, went to a backup and everything turned out pretty all right for him. Was able to run the top 10 constantly. So You're not really was sure what was up with that, but this is another track where he's really good at. He's finished top 15 four times over the last 2 years in all four races there, and four top 10 finishes five top 10 finishes since 2015 here. This is, you know, a place where the positioning of your race car matters a lot more than the speed in certain spots, and that's where Newman can capitalize. It's kind of also why I think he did really well in the drafting conditions last week. It's just something we know that Ryan Newman is fairly good at. He's starting 11th, which I'm not huge on, so even if he becomes top 10, it's not going to be too big of a move up. I think he'll still be an awesome play if he finishes top 10. He just needs to finish top 10. If he finishes like 12th or 13th or so, like he usually likes to, I don't think he'll be all that great of a play. I think a guy around him might make for a little better of a play, but the few guys right after him are in even worse spots, so don't mind a little bit of Newman. Just not too crazy about it. I don't see a ton of upside. Just a good chance for him to come top 10 again. Paul Menard, $6,900. Again, a guy like Newman that looked just great last week. Really like the, I guess anything that involves drafting just makes Menard all that much better. This place he's not been great at. Hasn't top 10 here since 2014. Starting 9th, I see him going backwards almost certainly. So kind of a real fade for me. The same can be said for William Byron, $6,800 starting 2nd. Was looking amazing. Top 4 in the 15, 20, 25, and 30 lap averages in 2nd practice, but fell off a cliff in final practice, 26th across the board there. Not sure what happened to the speed. Maybe it was testing out different things, but I see Chase leading those laps. I don't see William Byron leading these laps. He has led laps this year. He even led laps last week. I get that, but I think he's a guy that I'm either going to have very little of or almost none of, and just make that play and hope that he doesn't kill you, which I don't think he will. He did take a ton of laps in the 2nd practice. Took more than anyone there. But I'm confident that he's going backwards. I really don't think that he can, dominate for a good amount of time, and his teammate is starting on the inside there, so he's not going to get them off the bat, I would not think. Matt DiBenedetto at $6,700. This is perhaps his best track. He's finished top 30 here in the last 6 years, and given the car he'd been in, that's pretty darn good for him. 22nd and 21st last year. He gets to start in 21st, but this is what interests me a lot. He was 6th in 30 lap speed in 2nd practice, but in final practice, he kind of went off. He was 6th on the board in fast laps, but he had a run there where his car was lightning fast, and he was top 5 in all the lap averages from 5 lap to 30 lap, top 5 in all of them, and 2nd in 10 and 25 lap speeds. So it's a really wild speed from him. We already know it's a track where he exceeds at. And better equipment, I think that DiBenedetto starting 21st is going to be a really solid play this week. I think a slightly more popular play is going to be Ryan Preece at $6,500. Has not shown speed in practice, but has some good finishes over the last few weeks. His speed rank in 10 lap averages at short track so far this year is 13th. That's better than anyone until you get all the way up to Almirola. So that's kind of interesting there. I think that, he's going to be better at the flat tracks than these steep ones. So that's something to keep in mind when you're using the short track stats. If you look at all tracks, he runs about 22nd, 23rd or so. I kind of like him. I like using him around the same amount as DiBenedetto. Maybe a little bit more DiBenedetto than Preece. But Preece starting 30th, a lot of people are going to see the obvious place differential upside there and play him. At $6,500, can't really blame him either. The speeds are fine enough, not anything too impressive, but starting 30th, he'll certainly move up and even has the potential to come maybe top 20, maybe top 15 if he just goes insane, but top 20, 20 to, maybe 18th to like 22nd or 23rd, around there somewhere around that range. I think is where Priest is going to finish. He'll make for a decent enough value, provided that he doesn't mess up at a track that he's never raced at in the NASCAR Cup Series. So there's that. And right next to him in salary is teammate Chris Buescher, $6,400. Who would have thought that Buescher would already be cheaper than Priest? That's crazy. Starting 25th, this is, you know, not the usual track type where I hone in on Buescher. He's had a few crashes here recently in the spring race, 36th and 39th in those, but he was 5th in the 2016 fall race, and most recently 19th. You know, if he finishes 19th here, I think he'll be solid enough, but he's going to need like a top 15 finish or so, I think, to be great. Lately, he's been putting together awesome finishes, but I think his average finish is significantly better than his average running position. I think people are going to flock to him just looking at the game log, but the upside's a little higher with Priest. I still like Buescher a lot. I like that he's cheaper. Starting 25th, I think that's good, but I'm not going to go too crazy on him. Bubba Wallace at $6,200. I know he finished 16th in the spring race here last year, but his team's been really low on money. They don't have the money for a scan station, which would help them out tremendously. 31st in final practice. Very, very slow across the board. I don't have a lot of interest, even with them starting in 28th. They have, like, survivor's upside, of course. I'll play a little bit of them, but I don't think the team's in a great spot right now. You've got Daniel Hemric at $6,000 even. He's pretty decent, you know, 11th in average speed in final practice. Starting 26th. His speed's across the board generally around the 20th, 22nd or so range. So he'll move up some spots at $6,000. Not the worst play you can make, honestly. I think he's got some real upside there. We've seen him, you know, do some good things, but he's never raced here in the Cup circuit. But still, this is a place where I've seen, you know, RCR do a little better than usual. So don't mind playing some Hemric here. I think he has some upside. And sort of by the same cloth there, I think Ty Dillon starting 24th, a little bit high for him, but I think he scoots up a few spots there even. I think he runs about 19th, 20th, 21st. He's just a decent play at $5,800. He was 10th in the second practice. Final practice, not so much, about 25th or so. But still, I think, you know, he can definitely survive, good at keeping his nose clean and just should move up a few spots, you know, 15th here in the 2017 fall spring race, but, you know, just a little splash sort of play, maybe a little FanDuel sort of play. You've got Ross Chastain starting 37th, last in the field here, and that'll give him some immediate GPP upside, you know, just for a survivor's chance, but he really does have a super slow car. Average green lap speeds, 33rd and a half is average rank here. That's the only ones worse are Hoff, Curry, and Galding at the very, very bottom, the super scrubs here. So he really is among those guys. Didn't take a single lap in final practice. Going to have to go to a backup car there. Just not really too huge on him here. I know he finished 26th in the fall race. You know, if you look at the historical summary here, and you look at the averages by five starting positions from the scrubs, the guys starting way in the back, they, you know, 36th or worse, they hit 20 fantasy points only 46% of the time. They hit 30 fantasy points only 25% of the time. I don't think the odds are really in Chastain's favor to do all that well unless he magically survives through a bunch of cautions where people are out for good, which I don't know. I just see him going down way too many laps way too quickly to be a guy you want to roster too much. But you know, the upside is there, just given the fact that he's starting last. And he sure has been racing a lot this season, that's for sure. I've got David Reagan starting 22nd, $5,600. Over the last three races here, he's finished 17th, 12th, and 17th. Even going back further, 23rd and 21st. This is a track that he does do better at than usual. Does like these shorter and steeper tracks. You know, at these short and steep tracks, you know, we see him average around 21st, 22nd, 23rd place running position. So he should sort of finish around where he starts, which he's very, very cheap. But I don't know. I think you need a little bit of place differential or something. And I don't I think he has the most upside. He could finish top 20 again and be good, but I kind of like the next play a little better. Matt Tift, his teammate, $5,500 starting 29th. I know he's not been terribly fast, but honestly, Reagan, if you look at his speeds, they vary between 27th and 28th, as where Tifts are between 29th and 30th. But Tift gets to start back in 29th. That's where Reagan's starting up in 22nd, you know. I know Reagan obviously is better at the track and stuff, but I'd probably rather just go a little bit higher upside and go with Tift there. But still nothing wrong with taking a little bit of Reagan, some Chastain. But really, I don't like this area too much. I like paying a little bit more and focusing on that 6K range. It's really nice. You've also got Michael McDowell, the other front row teammate here. He's starting in 18th, a little high for me. I think he's going to work his way backwards. His average green flag speed at the short tracks, 30th. You know, not impressive at all. Right there with Tift, pretty much. Of course, that's 25th if you look at all the races compared to Tift's 30th. But still, starting 18th, he's moving backwards. He hasn't finished better than that ever. So, you know, not looking to him there. You got Landon Castle starting at 31st. Very slow car, has very slow speeds, but we've seen him post top 25 finishes here 6 times in the last 10 years, really over the last 9 years here, or 9 races, I mean. So it'd be like 4.5 years, but still. Just finds a way to, you know, scoot his way up there. He was in this car, the 00, when he finished 20th and 25th last year, just by surviving and scooting past cars. He is a very good short track driver. And I'll have some shares of him, but his car is quite slow. And in practice, he was pretty much 32nd across the board. And, you know, 10-lap averages on the year at short tracks, 35th. And tracks in general, 34th. Just very, very slow car this year. I think he's been underperforming even at places where he has sort of history like that. So I'll play a little, but I'm not too huge on Castle this week. Then you're pretty much heading down to the fades after we talk about LaJoy here. So LaJoy in Matt DiBenedetto's old car, the last few weeks we'd pretty much ran into the problem where LaJoy is really cheap and he's been doing honestly not that terrible this season. But, you know, he's just been at tracks where both he and DiBenedetto struggled at over the last 2 weeks. But this is a track where he's actually had some decent finishes, 24th, 28th, and 25th. To start his, track history here. But also, this is like DiBenedetto's best track where he had a lot of success with this car, even finishing 6th in the 2016 spring race. So don't mind some LaJoy starting 32nd. I will definitely have some shares of him. I think he can move up to the top 25. You know, that's pretty much his upside, but $5,200, he can open things up for you. And then after that, it's pretty much just fade city. The guys are 5,000 to 1. Quinn Hoff, Bailey Curry, Gray Galding. They're way off the pace, going laps down. And I mean, it's not like Castle and LaJoy and these guys aren't going laps down, because they will. They will go laps down and they'll pretty much be stuck. But, you know, you're playing them for their survivor chance, which I think LaJoy and Castle just have a lot more of than Half and Curry and Galding, because if there's early carnage, it's going to be because of them, or they're going to park it, you know, just because the car is so slow or whatever, or just go down too many laps for it to matter. So that's kind of how I see this race going on. So talked about the whole field here. Again, going to want to look at odds tomorrow. It might be a little bit telling to see how they've changed. Just giving, you know, not many changes outside of just practice and stuff. So it's going to be a little indicator there. And, of course, the caution indicators will be nice, and along with the top 5 odds and all that. So check in tomorrow. I will see you guys then. Good luck this week at Bristol. It is Bristol, baby. Let's have ourselves another nice day. We had a really good day in Xfinity today. We won a lot of the major GPPs, a lot of the top 5s. If you go to the Xfinity, all the big tournaments, you'll see us all over the top 5s, top 10s, Army helmets everywhere. And you can join us at dfsarmy.com. Use the link in the description. Use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 20% off to get access to all our daily fantasy sports offering. And I will see you guys next week. Enjoy your race at Bristol. It's going to be a good one. You'll want to watch it. See ya.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.